I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome you again. My name is David, and I meet with fellow Christians at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline. In this series, we are studying the Gospel by John. Let us turn to the Holy Scriptures. And by the way, if you don't own a Bible, we would gladly provide you with a personal copy of your own. Just contact us via our website, and I'll give you full details at the end of this short 10-minute podcast. The incident we are considering today takes place by a well in the region of Samaria, where the Lord Jesus meets a Samaritan woman. John chapter 4, verse 1. When, therefore, the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy food. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldst ask of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. And we know that God will bless this, the reading of the Holy Scriptures. Now, this Samaritan woman here in John chapter 4 says, The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. This was indeed a true statement, you see, that the Jews regarded the Samaritans as a mixed race people and despised them for what they saw as their corrupted religious beliefs. In the eyes of a pious Jew, the Samaritans were even more repugnant than the pagan Gentiles, and the Jews took nothing to do with them. The Samaritans lived in a region known as Samaria, and it's sandwiched between Galilee in the north and Judea in the south. And many Jews would rather have taken longer journeys around Samaria than having to pass through it. Such was their hatred and animosity towards the Samaritans. So as this Samaritan woman made her way to Jacob's well, outside the village of Sychar, she would likely have met a group of Galilean Jewish men heading into her village to buy food, and doubtless they would have ignored her. So imagine her surprise when she arrived at the well that another of the same company would deign to speak with her, to ask her for a drink of water, and then to enter into conversation. This was no chance meeting. You see, this meeting was divinely planned. Look closely at verses 3 and 4. He, that's the Lord Jesus, left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. The Lord Jesus must needs go through Samaria. Well, yes, geographically speaking, it made sense to travel directly through Samaria, but there's a higher hand at work here. There were people in the village of Sychar who needed him. They needed God's salvation. And first, there was to be a rendezvous with one particular woman. So, after what was likely a long and difficult journey, John the Apostle records that Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. Note that little word thus. His demeanour would show that he was physically exhausted. It was 12 noon, the hottest time of the day. He was never tired of doing the will of his Father God. He was never wearied of the journey, but he was wearied by the journey. We remember from previous podcasts when we look at John chapter 1 that the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. He was truly flesh and blood. He was not a superhuman. And we know from other Bible passages that he did suffer tiredness, hunger, thirst, and indeed pain. But he was God, manifest in flesh, fully God, yet fully human. Human like us, but he was sinless, holy, spotless, and pure. And here we have this woman who we learn in later verses in our chapter has led a colourful and an immoral life. And she gets into conversation with this Jewish stranger. It is noon, the warmest time of the day. And it's been suggested that perhaps she could only come to fetch water at this time of the day because she was a social outcast amongst her fellow villagers. Just as an aside, there are three amazing paradoxes here for us to ponder here in John chapter 4. Firstly, he who came into this world to bring us rest, true rest, is weary. In Matthew 11 and 28, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Secondly, he who is Israel's Messiah speaks to a Samaritan woman. The Jewish Pharisees of the day would never have sanctioned or believed that that could happen. But the love of Jesus goes out to all. Here in chapter 4, it's to a Samaritan woman living an immoral life. In the previous chapter, chapter 3, his love went out to Nicodemus, a man of the Pharisees, a morally upstanding ruler of the Jews. You see, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need God's salvation, and Christ came into the world to save sinners. And thirdly, he, the great creator God who made all things, including the lakes and the very oceans, is thirsty and asks for a drink from a well. Great paradoxes indeed, and we just marvel. But the discussion between the Lord Jesus and the woman at the well is not about drinking water. It's about spiritual water. In the Old Testament, David the psalmist writes in Psalm 42, "As the deer longs for flowing streams, so longs my soul for thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." Again in Psalm 63, "My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh faints for thee as in a dry and weary land where no water is." You see, there's a built-in part of every human being that seeks for or desires God. We have a God-given conscience that points us to believe in God and an afterlife. Someone has described it as a God-shaped hole that desires to be filled. The Lord Jesus surprises the woman by asking her for a drink, and she responds, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans." She probably knew from his dress and appearance that he was a Jew, and she was greatly surprised and astonished that this particular man had acknowledged her and deigned to speak to her, and she wants to know why. The Lord Jesus replies, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The great gift of God that Jesus offered her wasn't drinking water, nor even peace within her soul. It's much greater than that, you see, because it's Christ himself. The Apostle Paul, writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, calls it God's unspeakable gift, God's indescribable gift. And in Romans 6 and 23, Paul writes that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If only you knew who it is you're speaking to, he says to the woman. You see, he was Israel's true Messiah. He was God's only begotten Son, the Saviour of the world, God manifest in flesh, the Son of God, God the Son, and he offers her living water. It starts to dawn on the woman that this Jewish stranger is no ordinary man. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? She asks. She came to Jacob's well that day, as she's probably done hundreds of times before, in the heat of the day, to draw cool, still, life-preserving water from the depths of the deep well, and then carry it back to her village and into her home. Arduous work that had to be repeated time and time again, day after day. But Christ was offering her living, moving, eternal, life-giving water, spiritual water, a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Jesus said to the woman, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." So what about you, the listener here today? Do you have this thirst, this hunger, this need that only Christ can satisfy? Jesus says, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Are you hungering and thirsting? In John chapter 6, John again quotes the words of the Saviour. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." And later he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." The solution is to come to Jesus and believe on him. Accept him, the gift of God, and you too will have everlasting life and be fully satisfied. Thank you once again for listening. If you would like more information, or indeed a copy of God's Word, the Bible, you can contact us through our website, which is www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org/contact. And may God bless you for listening.